Amen. You may be seated. Turning your Bibles, if you will. John chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verse 34 and verse 35 of John chapter 13. Nikolai told me, he said, there's no lesson on the back of the bulletin. I said, well, that doesn't mean there's not a message. Amen. There's just no blanks to fill in. But John chapter 13 and verse 34 and 35. And notice what the Bible says here. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that as we just sang in that song, Lord, we can come to you. Lord, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Lord, what a wonderful privilege that is. Lord, I pray that you would be with this message tonight, that you would help each one of us to love as you love. And Lord, that you would help each one of us, Lord, to draw closer to you throughout this message. And Lord, I know there's many that cannot be here due to health reasons and those things. Lord, I pray that you would touch their body and Lord, that they would be blessed by the live stream tonight. Lord, help us throughout this service. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here in John chapter 13 and verse 34 and 35, of course, this is a passage that oftentimes is referred to when we are talking about the betrayal of Christ and about how Peter is going to deny the Lord. And of course, it says there in verse 38, Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. But just before this, just before he's told that he's going to deny the Lord says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Well, today, I'm sure this isn't a shock to anyone. It may be a shock to some men, and I'm about to get them in trouble here. Today's Valentine's Day. You still have a few hours if you haven't asked your wife to be your Valentine. Well, you need to make that happen soon. Amen. And you can get that taken care of. Somebody may or may not be standing out there waiting to sell you some flowers on the way out to help you this evening. But here it says that you love one another. You know something that I've found to be true? This world has a warped view of love. This world has no idea what love is. What, if you were to ask this world about love, they would mention a lot of things, but it would not be spelled L-O-V-E. It would be spelled L-U-S-T. That's what this world looks at, is love, is lust. But today's a day that's celebrated by people everywhere. And there are heart balloons and cards and heart-shaped candies and all of those types of things. And all of that will be on sale tomorrow. Amen. We'll be raiding Walmart and Walgreens and all of that, buying all of that chocolate. But there's many roses given today, many flowers, and everyone around this holiday, they say this phrase, love is in the air. Well, something's in the air today, amen. But of course, there's commercials that play over and over and over again. And you know all of these commercials that play around this time of year? You know what all of them try to do? They try to convince you that love is what you buy people. Love is what you can buy or put on your credit card or whatever, because that person will not know you love them unless you spend X amount of money on them. Well, that's not love. The truth is, the love that this world looks at is lust, as I mentioned just a moment ago. So what is love? Is it just romance? Is it just the way that one person feels about another? Well, in a world that tries to define love for us, and they will define love in some disgusting ways, can I put it that way? But the truth of the matter is this, in a world that tries to define love, we need to know exactly what love is. Well, where do we learn that? We learn it from the Bible. we learn exactly what God says love is, and we find it right in His Word. I've come to the conclusion, and I'm sure you have as well, that the Bible is there to teach us everything that we need to know. It's there. It's taught in Scripture. You have a question about something, go to the Scriptures. The Bible will teach it either in word, in verse, or at least in principle. The Bible will teach us what we need to know, how we need to live in this world. So this evening I want to preach to you a message I've entitled this: What is True Love? You know, I think the place that has probably put out the most money, if not one of the top places that has put out the most money on teaching what love is Disney. You know, they're all the time putting out different movies that will try to show what love is in this person's life and what love is over here and how you can know that you have true love. Well, something that we all know is that there are many things this world tries to change our mind on, and love is no different than that. When a believer is following the Bible, the world doesn't want that. The world wants us to follow one system, and that system that this world wants us to follow is contrary to what the Bible says. So what does the Bible say about love? If you read the Bible and you see exactly what love is, what are you going to come to the conclusion of? If the Bible is to be our guidebook, then what does it, or how does it guide us? In what way does it guide us in this area of love? As we study the Bible, we find that it speaks of different types of love. As you study the Scriptures, you find that in the Old Testament, of course, it was written in Hebrew and Aramaic. The New Testament was written in the Greek language, Koine Greek. And throughout the Bible, we find many mentions of love. In the King James Version Bible, you will find 442 mentions of the word itself. Now, that is not including all of the actions of love. You could find all throughout the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all throughout His life, it was one action of love that you'll find all through there. But the word itself, love, is found 442 times in the King James Version Bible. All throughout the Bible we find this. And know this, as we discuss how we should love this evening, there's a statement that I want to make. And if this is the only thing we get out of this message tonight, then we'll be all right. I want us to understand this. Love, biblical love, is only love if it's put into action. If it's just, we see this verse, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Well, that's a good verse. I learned a little bit about love tonight. No, we didn't learn anything until we've put it into practice. It's a love that calls for action. For God so loved the world that He gave. It's an action that we see there. So first of all, notice this evening. Love is of God. Love is of God. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Bible's pretty plain and clear on that. It's pretty simple. God is love. Therefore, love is of God. As we study the Bible, we find the word love is mentioned many times. As we go throughout our days, oftentimes we will hear the word love. You cannot even go into Walmart this time of year without hearing about love. If there's one thing we as society needs, we need love advice from all of these corporations today, don't we? We need them to tell us exactly what love is. No, it's not what we mean, but it's everywhere. As we study the Word of God, we are met with love because God is a God of love. But understand, it's not that he doesn't judge us. And that's where many people will disagree. They'll say, well, if God's a God of love, then he won't judge us. No, he loves us, therefore he chastens his children. Why do we train our children in the way that they should go? Because we love them, because we want what is best for them. When a child is walking up to a hot stove and he goes to touch that, I don't think any of us as a loving parent would say, well, I think they're going to learn their lesson when they grab that hot stove. We would say that's not love. Why is that? Because we're not looking out for what is best for our children. We're going to yell. We're going to say, don't touch that. We may swat their hand away. We're not doing that out of anger. We're doing that out of love. But when God does that to us, well, all of a sudden, God doesn't love me and I just have life too hard. Lord, help us. You know, the Bible tells us that God loves us. He cares for us. Therefore, he gave us a way to escape hell and helps us to overcome sin. God gives us a way to lay off the weight that doth so easily beset us. But that love can only come from God. You know, everything had a creator. Everything. And the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. After everything was created, God said, it is good. He created it to be good. But of course, mankind messed it up because mankind was given a choice. And you know as well as I do that we would have made the wrong choice as well. It's easy for us to point our finger and say, well, we're in this shape because Adam and Eve did that. No, we're in this shape because we're wicked, rotten sinners. That's why we're in this shape. Every one of us would have made the same choice that they made. Well, how do you know that? Because I do the same thing every single day. My flesh wants to follow sin. My flesh wants to do what I'm not supposed to do. And yours does as well. Mankind was given a choice. We messed it up. That's why it's so important for us to be focused on what the Bible declares rather than what man says. You know what mankind's going to tell you about love? Mankind is going to tell you that love is only in the affection, the outward affection to another person. They will say that it's some feeling between a man and a woman. And though God has instituted a marriage as a man and a woman for life, and he desires that the husband love the wife and that the wife love the husband, understand that's not what love is. Look back at 1 John, the verse that I quoted just a moment ago. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. We may say, well, love is between human beings. Well, love can be there, but only true love can be there if God is there. Verse 8 of 1 John chapter 4 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's what love is. God is love. But you know who's not going to tell you that God is love? The world's not going to tell you that. At least not in the context of Scripture. There's an awful lot of places out there that have a steeple on top of the building and on their church sign. It may say church and it may even say Baptist church, but there's a lot of places out there. They're going to tell you that God is a God of love, but they're going to leave out exactly how loving God is in talking about how we are sinners and on our way to hell in need of a Savior. The world's not going to tell us that God is love. For the world, love is all about a feeling. It's about what I think, but that's not biblical love. That is lust. And we as human beings, we are emotional beings. We want what feels good. And many times when we do what this world says and we follow our heart, you know what happens? We end up broken. We end up beat down. We end up in the midst of a broken relationship. We end up in a place of constant unrest and there's no peace. Why is that? Because we were looking for love in a place that no believer has any place looking for love in. The only place we are to find love is in God. There are an awful lot of people who have tried a marriage. They've gotten married. They've had the ceremony and all of those things, and they're wondering to themselves, "Well, why isn't this working?" Because they left God out of it. Because the source of love was left out. It was all about a feeling. It was all about a special day. It was all about those emotional things. But they left God out of the equation. They were looking for love in a place that has no idea what love truly is. God is love. And if we search for God and we dwell in the love of God, understand God's going to take care of us. Now, there's going to be times in which we don't understand why we're going through the storm. We don't understand why the valley is so deep and why it's so dark. But understand as well, through those times, God's love is still there. Young people here this evening, understand that this world will try to convince you that love is some feeling of affection. It will try to convince you that love is all about attraction. But that is not the case, because love is still love when the feeling may not be there. Love is still love when the attraction is gone. Ladies, someday that man, his muscles are going to be gone. Those muscles are going to turn into a belly someday. What then? Some people, all they define love by is what they see on the outside. You're going to find yourself in a world of hurt. If your love is based on that attraction, where will you be? Maybe when you met your wife and her complexion was perfect, she had the perfect smile. Maybe that's what you fell in love with. Can I ask you this? What are you going to do when it's gone? You want to look at the book of Ecclesiastes. It'll tell you exactly what's going to happen to every single one of us. It talks about the teeth falling out, the hair turning gray, and all of these sorts of things. It's going to happen. It's just what happens to the body. Unless you're forever young, like Brother Sean. Amen. It's going to happen. If you follow what this world says about love, you'll find yourself looking for it over and over and over again. But if we follow what God says about it, understand God is the source of love. So even when all of those things are gone, even when all of those other things have changed, God has not changed. You know, the truth of the matter is this. God is the only thing that's constant. That's it. He doesn't change. Of course, his word doesn't change. God is forever the same. If you ask this world hundreds of years ago what love is, they'd give you a different definition than what they would say love is today. They say that all kinds of things are love today. They add every letter to the alphabet when they talk about love today, don't they? But it's not love. The truth of the matter is, we all need to understand what love is. There was a love letter that was written, and this is what it said, and I may have used this illustration before, but I'm going to use it again. Amen. Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. Please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. And congratulations on winning the state lottery. That wasn't love. That was lust. Amen. She was wanting the money. We all understand that's not love. You know, honestly, there is nothing that's more beautiful than a man and a woman who truly love the Lord, marry each other, and serve the Lord together. Why? Because God's love is at the center of that marriage. And you can see the love of God in their relationship. It's beautiful. Why? Because love is of God. You know, in today's time, 47% of so-called Christians end in divorce. 47%. You'd say, how can that be? And, you know, there's going to be a small percentage of those that some things just happened and it was outside of their control and all of that, very, very small percentage. But the reality is this, because they may call themselves Christians, but they left God out of the equation. So first of all, no, love is of God. Notice number two this evening. Notice that true love is challenging. True love is challenging. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 36 through 40. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. Notice what the Bible says. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Lord said that everything hangs on this. The love of man towards God is what the law and the prophets hang on. This is what holds it up. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. As we read that verse, if you are anything like me, you do this too. I can convince myself that I love the Lord that way. I can convince myself that yes, I love the Lord with all my heart and with all my mind and with all my strength. I do that, and I can pull the wool over my own eyes on that commandment. But the Lord didn't stop there. There at verse 39, He says, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, what about that? You know, I like to say, well, I love the Lord. And if somebody asked me, do you love the Lord God? I would say, yes, I love the Lord. It's easy to convince myself of that. But then when we look at that next verse and we say, wait a second, now it says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, I'm okay with applying that to some neighbors. I can apply that to some people. I can apply that to some individuals, but the reality is this. Each and every one of us, we are to love everyone. We are to love them as Christ loves them. Do we love people? Do we truly love people? Over the last several weeks, we've been going through soul winning helps and talking about how to deal with this individual and that individual and the mindset we should have and all of those sorts of things. Understand, if we don't love people, then all the things we've learned about soul winning can be thrown out the door because we're not going to put them into place if we don't love people. If we're not willing to go. If we're not willing to show them what the Bible says. Remember, love is action. That is a true love. It is action. We've already seen that love is of God. God is love. So with that being settled in our mind, the God of love has told us to love people. So do we? We may say, well, I think I do. But that may last until someone does something to upset us, until they do something that gets under our skin, then what? This love thy neighbor is not only the person next door to you. You know, there are some people that are blessed with great neighbors, and when either themselves or their neighbor gets ready to move away, one or the other or both will say, wow, it was such a pleasure to be a neighbor to them. It was easy to love them, had a great relationship. There's others that do not have that great relationship. But we're not just talking about the one next door. That word neighbor is talking about the ones we come into contact with each and every day. Even those ones at work that know exactly what buttons to push in your life, know exactly how to upset you, how to get under your skin, then what? Do we love them? It's challenging, isn't it? But remember, love is challenging. You know, love's not easy. It's not. Lust is easy. That's what our flesh wants to do. But biblical love is not easy. Love is difficult. when we are going about our everyday business, we hardly have time to take care of our essentials, let alone help someone else. But the truth is, we are commanded to love one another. We read that there in 1 John 4, 7 and 8. There's been many times that I've just been busy just going about my business, trying to squeeze all I can into the day. And many times I've neglected the urge of the Holy Spirit to love someone else. I'm not proud of that. But you know what I've found every single time I've taken the time to love someone else? I've left there encouraged. Every time. Now, I've got all these things going on. We've got a lot of events going on at the church. We've got a lot of things going on. We've got all of these scriptures that we're trying to get out this year. We've got soul winning on Saturdays, and we got church and Sunday school on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We've got all these things going on. We are busy. We're running the kids back and forth to school and all of those things. We get sucked into this life that is so busy and so on. Often we forget to love others. But the Word of God is true, and God knows exactly what's best for us, even when it's challenging, even when it seems like we don't have the time. Can I challenge us this evening to love someone? To go out of our way, to love a neighbor as ourselves. You know, there's some practical ways to do that. You know what happens when I'm driving down the road and I'm hungry? I stop and get something to eat. You know, there's people in this world that are hungry. When's the last time we went out of our way to get somebody something to eat? When's the last time we saw someone that was struggling and we bought them some groceries? When's the last time we went out of our way and we realized that someone was going through something and we just gave them an ear to talk to? Do we love people? When's the last time we loved, even though it was challenging? The Bible declares that Christ came into His own and His own received Him not. You know, the reality is this. We would like to look at that verse and say, well, I just don't understand how Christ could come to those people and how they wouldn't even have time for the Savior. And He came for them and they didn't even receive Him. They didn't even love Him. And it's easy for us to sit here in church and to say, well, I wouldn't do that. But then every time we pass over what the Bible calls the least of these, we're neglecting Christ. That's exactly what we're doing. When's the last time we loved someone? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He lived 33 years on this earth. 3 years of that was a ministry. Everything that we read about the life there, other than when He was 12 years old going to the temple, after that, everything that we read about the Lord through the gospel records there is in that 3 year period. Anytime we think that we're too busy to love someone, look at everything the Lord did in 3 years. And yet He had time to love everyone. He had time to go through Samaria. He had time to go to the house of Zacchaeus. He had time to heal the woman with the issue of blood. He had time to raise the little girl. He had time to raise Lazarus from the dead. He had time for all of those things. You say, well, yeah, but He was Christ, but He robed Himself in flesh. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He loved people, even though they rejected Him. We do not see Him saying, well, I've just got so much to do. Well, they can take care of themselves. Well, those lepers outside of the city over there, I understand they're calling to me, but I've got people over here. I've got something that I need to do. They'll just have to take care of it themselves. That's not what we see Him doing. No, He took time for them. We don't see Him looking down His nose. We find, notice what the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. He didn't die for us because we were righteous. He didn't die for us because we were doing everything right. He died for us while we were yet sinners. Over in the book of John, chapter 15, John chapter 15 and verse 13. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I think all of us men in this room would say that if it came to a choice between us or our family, we'd lay down our life for our family. We'd do that to protect them. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. There's a big difference between my friends and my family, but not in God's eyes. We are to love everyone. We are to see that that this is the greatest show of love. And that's exactly what happened with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He laid down his life for us, not because we were being friendly to him. No, the people were standing there hollering, crucify him. But yet he loved them. Whenever we think we don't have time to love someone the way that Christ did, or we don't want that kind of a challenge, we just want it the easy way, just remember that the Lord Jesus Christ did not take the easy path. He took the path of pain, of torture, of weakness, and of death. It was one that was challenging. So notice, true love is of God. True love is challenging. Notice number three, true love is life-changing. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 16. I want us to all read this verse together. John 3:16. Of course, we can quote it. When I say begin, let's read John 3:16 together. Ready? Begin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think about that love. God loved us so that we wouldn't have to perish, so that we could have everlasting life. It's God's desire for every man to trust him. There's no one that God looks at and God says, well, I didn't die for you. No. God desires to change everyone's life. God desires to save everyone. However, you have to come to Christ. There's not one person who can truly say that they're born again, but yet can say, well, I'm saved, but it didn't change anything. No, you know it changed something. You know it did. Because Christ causes that change. Christ does that work. The Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I understand there are different levels of spiritual growth and all of those sorts of things. I understand that people need to be taught. But the reality is this. When someone trusts Christ as their Savior and their sins are forgiven, they know there's been a change. They know that. John chapter 15 and verse 9 and 10, the Bible says this, if you keep my, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you, continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now notice, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. There's an awful lot of believers that are walking around this earth today that don't have the joy of the Lord. Why? Because we're not loving as Christ loved. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. You want to be joyful? Love the way that Christ loved. Love people sacrificially. Abide in His love, as we see there in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That word abide, it has the idea of continuing. Christ died for us. There's not a person out there who Christ did not die for. And if we are saved, we're new creatures in Christ. Therefore, we should not act the way that we acted before. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ. You don't have that joy of the Lord. You're just going about this life and you don't know what true love is. Love is found in God. You need to trust Christ tonight. But for those of us who are saved, let me ask us this question. How are we doing in loving others in our everyday life? You know, it's easy to love people in the church house. It's easy. Come in, we're happy to be here, most of us, amen. Hopefully you're happy to be here. We're singing the great hymns of the faith. We're singing Great is Thy Faithfulness. We're praising the name of God. We have a smile on our face, and it's easy to love people in this place. But the love of God, whether it's in our life or not, is going to be seen when we walk out of this place. When we're in our workplaces. When we're in our schools, when we're in our homes, when we're at the grocery store, how do we love others? That word abide, it means to dwell in, to continue to stay. That's where I want to be. Abiding in the love of Christ, but that only happens when we allow God's love to shine through our life. How is the love of God been shining through your life? If we were to go around the room and we were to say, who's the last person that you loved the way that Christ loved? What would come to your mind? Most people wouldn't be able to think of a time. Most of the other ones that could think of a time, it may be weeks, months, years, maybe even decades ago. Well, there was this time back in such and such year that this person, they needed this help, and I stopped and helped them, and I showed them love. Christ showed love every day. Who are we showing love to? How often are we going out of our way to love others, to follow the Lord? Do we realize what true love is? It's of God.